Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hello, ladies. Welcome to WEEI Afternoons, and greetings to one and all on Lansdowne Street outside of our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which, conveniently enough, is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on the F-Series, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Speaking of coming in like a truck, how about Ted Johnson, everybody?
And Big Teddy.
What's up, guys? Good to see you.
Yeah. What's up? Hey, who did you just run into outside of the ballpark?
One Jared Carrabas, who I'd never
met.
So I met him for the first time. I think I scared him a little bit. I do that, you know, I just...
You do have that impact.
It's like I'm not even trying to sneak up on people. I just walk up to him and...
That's pretty hard for you to sneak up on someone.
I swear, I mean, people... You know what happens all the time? Like, we're in hallways, you know, where we work. There's different hallways, and I'll turn the corner, and somebody is like, oh, looks at me and, like, drops their papers. It's I don't know what it is.
Screams, maybe tinkles a bit.
Yeah, and then they laugh, and it's like, I have this weird, and a little bit with Carrabas. So he was, I think he was taken off guard a little bit, but we had a nice little conversation, and I grilled him for some info.
Yeah?
Maybe I'll share it later. Maybe not. We'll see how it goes. I don't know, you know. It was. I felt like he was telling me some stuff that I have to read between the lines, and that's all we do with this job. So I felt like I kind of got what he was trying to say without really saying it, which I found to be very interesting information. So we'll see. Maybe I'll share
that
later.
Yeah. How about that?
Jared, never met him. Good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Good guy.
He's an old pal, and he knows his baseball, and he loves his Red Sox. And I'll tell you, nobody loves their Red Sox more than this town does when they are winning, Ted. I'm sure you heard I was at the ballpark last night, and it was a night and a half to be there. It was just awesome vibes.
Well,
the energy hit. Let me say this. If they keep this up, because I know we like to say around here you are skeptically optimistic, and we'll get a chance to chop it up in a little bit. I feel the energy shift is happening. Now, we have all said this, and we've fallen for it before, and like I like to remind people, as they say on the internet, I'm ready to get hurt again.
Oh, of course. This team is good at that.
Tell you what, I'll say this. I thought last night's win was the best of the seven that they've won in a row.
Hell yeah.
It just gave me the most confidence. They're down three runs, and then they come back and able to hold them off, at the end. I mean, and it's a team that's leading your division, although I think I heard Rich say that they were 5-2 against Tampa. That's great. That's awesome. I need to see more.
Yep.
Really last night, I was not going to lie. I was impressed, probably because it was the young guys too.
Right.
But the fact that they came back and won it in a one-run game, which they've been terrible all season, was impressive to me.
Yep, they were down 1-3. Speaking of three, how about we get three of the hottest takes in Boston sports and beyond right now? You know it. You love it. In the 3 o'clock hour, it's time for the three-point stance.
19! It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three. And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, which is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on the big stories in the world of sports and sometimes beyond. Each host will get 60 seconds to present their opening stance, after which we will discuss each and every one. Our order for today is Nick Fitzy Stevens and then my boy Stiz back in our Brighton studios and then Ted Johnson. Fitzy will lead us off. Are you ready?
I am indeed, and I'm also ready to let the audience know, a little tease here, a little vertical promotion on our program. 3:30 today, we debut our first ever in the history of WEI Afternoons. I know the Greg Hill Show has enjoyed it before. I enjoyed it back on WAF, but you guys are in for a treat. A Stanley Bruno Stiz Grimy hip-hop original with a little bit of a theme to the topic of the week regarding the Battle of the Wills. Let's so go. Everyone stay tuned to that. It is going to be something special. But as far as a three-point stance, yes, indeed I am. And this one will be a little bit of an off-the-beaten-path refreshing summer stance.
All right. Well, 60 seconds nonetheless, and they start right now. Good luck.
Dan, I know one of your favorite things to wear here on the WEI Afternoon Show is all right, that'll be the show, everybody. Good night, and we will talk to you on Monday from 2 to 6. Andy Hart will be back. Thank you. I know one of your favorite things to wear. I didn't expect that. I got to say, nice curveball. Is the t-shirt that has the Sunday cup.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Upside down. Everybody loves the old Sunday cup. Everybody loves ice cream in the summer. I've eaten more ice cream this summer already than I think I have in the past five summers.
Sort of. Go ahead.
Slight showboating. But I have kids, 12 and 8, serious brag, and they love going for ice cream. And it's been one of those summers where you just can't get enough ice cream. And I just want to point this out to everybody that, yes, I understand the cost of everything has gone up, and you got to pay anywhere between 50, 75 cents, $1, $1.50, maybe even $2, Ted, for toppings at certain places, right? But there is one topping I believe should be free of charge, universally available to one and all. Sprinkles. There is no reason in the world why, as you have on your Sunday cup right there, sprinkles are on top of there. Sprinkles make everybody happy. Sprinkles turn a day and a frown upside down. Kids love them. They cost absolutely nothing. There is no reason why you should have to pay the same $1.50 for sprinkles on top of your ice cream that you do Reese's peanut butter cups, gummy bears, or sour worms if you're a savage. Oreos, that's an actual expense. It's like a bucket of 10 billion sprinkles costs like $3. Don't upsell us on that. You know you're just making it more difficult for mom and dad and making it more expensive. Give the people what they want. We want free sprinkles in the Commonwealth.
Who the hell calls them sprinkles? They're Jimmies.
Okay, we can't. Are we going to do this?
It's Jimmies. But well, okay. Okay, fine.
Okay, I mean, well, they're rainbow sprinkles. Why aren't they rainbow Jimmies?
I just Jimmy's.
So where would you rank your sprinkles in the list of best toppings?
That's top three. I mean, it's like because my kids
of all the toppings.
My kids, top three. Because I don't. I usually get things mixed. I love like a Blizzard McFlurry. I love them mixed in.
Yep.
But on top, I can't say no to sprinkles anytime, anywhere. They just make me so happy. And like when you see them, they're just like a universal sign of joy. Everybody loves sprinkles.
I've never had that experience, but you know what? That's what makes all of us different and unique.
Different birds.
But I like it. You know what? I say whipped cream should be free for a topping. That's my favorite.
Whipped cream?
I love whipped cream.
You know what?
Big fan of whipped cream.
I'll tell you what, because like I'll give you for example, there are like five different ice cream spots right around from my little Sea Shack on the Cape, right? And they vary between $5 or $6 or even $7 for a small cup, which is like one, maybe two scoops.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you're paying a significant premium summertime surcharge for the.
The people that own those little shacks are millionaires.
Yeah. They're making money hand over. They're
millionaires.
They're making a year's worth of money in 4 months. Time.
Correct.
And I understand that, you know, to chop up a Kit Kat or something like that, or break up a Reese's peanut butter cup, there's an actual cost and expense behind that. Yeah. But they order industrial size buckets of sprinkles, right.
They pay for the sprinkles.
But that should be the one thing that they give everybody for.
Really?
I mean, because it makes kids like.
What about straws and utensils, you know, and little baggies and those things?
Yeah,
they give
well,
you
that's
for
that,
free.
You got to work that. You got
from a guy that's been in the
hospitality
in a
industry for sure. I mean, you got to work all of those into the cost of doing business. But I feel like sprinkles are the one thing, considering how little they cost the business and how happy they make everybody that get them.
I just didn't know they sprinkles make everybody happy. I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
Sprinkles to me, Ted, are like champagne. When have you ever gone home from work and you're like, I am in the worst mood ever. Honey, pop open a bottle of champagne. Give me some Prosecco. I had a terrible day at work. Like
$1.50 is also out of control.
Yeah.
You want to tell me 50 cents? Right. All right, I'll have a conversation with you for the cost of doing business.
Okay, sprinkles.
Based on the value of the single sprinkle.
Right. If you're going to do sprinkles or Jimmy's, it'd be like 25 cents. They shouldn't cost the same as everything else. But to tell me that like covering your ice cream in M&M's legitimately may or should cost a buck or two. But covering it, like doing a little dip
all
in
the
sprinkles,
things
dollar, please.
You spend money on. Like you think, like what do you, I think one of my biggest things I waste money on is probably apps or certain little services I don't realize I have, you know, that I haven't canceled.
You need to download one of those bank services where they kill all the.
I need to do that, but that is where you cut corners. Not on the poor ice cream guy that's selling sprinkles. Like, you need to save your money somewhere else, Bubba. I don't know if I would want to die on the sprinkle hill there.
You know? I'm just saying, if we all could agree that sprinkles should be free, I think it would be a better day for you.
I'm not signing that petition. Nope.
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 All right. I tried. Yeah. I just wanted to let the good people, the Commonwealth, know Big Ice Cream in Massachusetts and the Cape already has my money. You'll get my business probably even tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. That said, courtesy sprinkles would go a long way.
You tried your hardest.
I did.
You tried your hardest to win over the crowd.
I did.
The world is divided, but if you get sprinkles, maybe more sprinkles, bring us all together. Very good.
That's what we need. All right. Well put.
Thank you.
You definitely mix it up here for a summer three-point stance, which we love, which brings us to my man, Stiz. Stiz, are you ready?
I am ready, Dan Ball.
This is always a lot of fun when you jump in, so I give you 60 seconds to begin right now.
I will just say quickly, I read something about the term that I use for sprinkles that I had no idea. So maybe I will call them sprinkles moving forward.
Yeah, maybe you should call them sprinkles, Stiz.
Jeez, maybe. What a world. All right, but anyway.
Right? Thank you.
We thought that love was dead. And in fact, Andy Hart made it his three-point stance earlier in the week that he was so happy that Steph Diggs and Cardi B had broken up because now Steph would focus his attention 100% on the football. Well, I have some news for everybody. Let's take a listen to the sound. Now, for anyone that's wondering what that may be, that is a vlog that Steph Diggs posted and Cardi B has since reposted of the two of them all sweaty together working out. So, in the end, love has won. Cardi B and Steph Diggs are still together. And even though she's in Paris working on her album and he is here in New England getting ready for the next season, in the end, love wins. Steph Diggs and Cardi B are still happily together, and I think we still have to worry about maybe his attention not being completely on the football field and maybe in other areas.
Interesting way to look at that. You know, you could make a case for both sides. It, you know, that he needs the stability of a constant woman, and some would say, you know, kind of when I tell young guys when they play, I'm like, don't get girlfriends. Keeps you hungry. Just keep. If you wanted to get a girlfriend, you know, it's like
women weaken knees, right?
Yeah, you don't go work out as hard. You just lose your edge a little bit. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, are they back following each other on socials?
Now this whole thing started because about 2 weeks ago, Cardi removed all the pictures of them two together off her Instagram. Yeah. However,
why would
she
do that, Stiz?
Some
artists
do that.
You speak celebrity.
Well,
yeah, why do they do
that? They have an upcoming album coming out, what they'll do sometimes is remove everything off their Instagram so that all their, post moving forward is nothing but promotion for said album. And so that may be what she's doing. I've seen that happen a bunch of times with artists, but clearly the two are still together, happily in love, working out all sweaty together. So
I'm
glad that's why they're sweaty together.
Yes.
I'm curious what you guys think. Cause I was told this when it comes to the social media, especially Instagram, I usually defer to my kids on what's acceptable.
And by the way, Ted, Cardi B, free sprinkles.
There you go. Okay. All right. Good to know.
That's the name of her album.
The thing about Instagram, I'm told that is you do not say you had a girlfriend.
Sure.
And you guys break up. Do you go on Instagram and delete all?
Scrub? Yeah.
You are.
How petty you are.
I'm told that you do not.
You are.
How petty you are.
But can other people see the archive?
No, when you archive it, basically you're hiding it from your page, but if you still want to access, like, I don't know, maybe if I've done that with a couple psycho ex-girlfriends and then 5 months later had to put them back up.
Oh, that's very personal.
There was a lot of detail in that for someone who was just putting up a hypothetical.
Come on, Stiz. Yeah, government names.
Saying,
let's go.
But yeah,
that feels like a scrub to me.
If you archive, you're scrubbing. You're basically, like, if you take it off the main so people can't see it, then you're basically trying to hide the relationship.
But a lot of people will kind of thin the herd. Maybe they take off some, but not all. There's still a semblance or still a recognition that you had the relationship, but it's not current, to kind of give a little bit of a sign to, okay, hey, I'm back on the market.
How would you feel if you started dating a new girl and you guys got serious and she still had a bunch of pictures with her old ex-boyfriend up there on her Instagram?
I wouldn't like it, but my kids tell me that's acceptable. That's how it is.
That's part of your life, and therefore you shouldn't disavow it. I understand that, but if it's like you guys, like, you know, getting all smoochy, or just like, you know, like you're
I don't love that,
bench pressing your girlfriend in a bikini.
So you're saying there's certain pictures you would take off, just but not all of it. Okay, yeah.
I'm not a fan of erasing your past or like disavowing from whence you came. Like, I am the lump sum of all of my terrible decisions, relationships, triumphs, successes, and sadness. Yeah. So that's how it should be.
No regrets. Don't regret anything you did. Just regret the things you didn't do. You should look at.
Right? Wow, that was like a country album right there. Yeah. I love that. That was good. That was country strong, Ted. I like that.
All right, I'm ready to go. I got some.
Is it Teddy time?
I have a thought that I'm curious what you guys think. So
beautiful.
And this is fresh, right? You had a 3-point take in the queue.
I had audio for another 3-point. I was getting them.
It was juicy.
Ready for. Yeah, and then I changed my mind, of course, like I happen to do some from time to time. So, yeah.
It's your prerogative, and if it's the way you want to live, Dan Ball, should we give him his 60 seconds?
Absolutely, Stiz. Let's give it to him right now.
Okay, thank you, guys. So, you know, there was something I saw when I came into work today, and I fortunately, the guys are great to me. I get to park kind of by where the players, the Red Sox players park, right? Oh. So we've been coming to Fenway for the last few months, right, as the season's gone on. And so I've noticed something different today that I hadn't noticed in the past. And I keep hearing, I mean, Will Fleming and, you know, Lou Maloney, guys that cover the team on a day-to-day basis, Will Middlebrooks, talking about the good vibes. There's so many good vibes that this team is just, it seems like they're kind of there's some cohesion, mm-hmm. that there's a concerted effort to, you know, with a common goal. You see they're having fun in the dugout these days. And what struck me was how many players' vehicles were here when I got to work today. There was more vehicles than I've ever seen at any time I've been here. It was a lot thinner when I came here to start the season. And today, when I got here, cars everywhere. I could hardly find a spot to park. That tells me that this team is bought in. They're here early. They're all locked in. The player lot doesn't lie. If you see the cars there, that tells you kind of where the team is at. So right now, it feels as if, from all the things I've heard, guys that cover the team, and what I saw today with all the cars, that this team is bought in probably more now than it has been all season.
How about that? From someone who knows what it means to put the vehicle in the player's lot early, because there would always be the competitive, like, who's first in the building? Is it Brady? Is it Johnson? Is it Lonnie Paxton? Probably definitely was not Lonnie Paxton.
No, definitely not.
No. He was too busy hanging 10 somewhere, bro. You know, you that's something that you were part of, that particular rat race. So to see...
That means something to me. As a player, just yeah. I mean, I've been to... 1,000 times gone to a player's lot, and you know, you notice who's, you know, it's kind of thin today. Where is everybody? Or else there's guys are locked in and they're early, and they were never seen the lot as full as it was today for this game. So it feels, though, as if these guys are feeling good, and all the good vibes that people have been reporting is all true.
And I tell you what, Ted, this interestingly enough coincides with the return of your boy, St. Alex Bregman.
Mm.
So is there even more of a renewed energy commitment for a guy that, as we've talked about time and again, has really kind of ascended to a team captain, bench coach, you know, right-hand man, consigliere for Alex Cora? Is there something to do with that?
I think so.
The guys want to be here and be part of what's going on now that he's back, and you're kind of at the point, at least offensively, where it's like, all right, now we go. Yeah. Now this is our group. Now we go.
It's that. It's definitely that. And I think it's part of it is just to show each other where they're at, how committed they are to each other. And then maybe to Alex Cora. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, when things were bad, people were crushing Alex Cora.
Sure.
And you know what? And he stuck by. How many times did we call him out about Walker Buehler? What are you going to do with Walker? Nope. He's going to keep starting. You saw him pitching a little bit better recently. But the point is,
Faith rewarded last night with a quality start.
These guys, my feeling is, they want to show the manager and each other, what that loyalty, what sticking by each other it means. And so they're showing up. They don't want to be the guy that isn't fully bought in. When mm-hmm. you're winning like this, it raises the compete level of everybody, because you don't want to be the one guy that stands out for not pulling his weight like everyone else.
There's got to be an obligation of arrival time. Like, don't be here later than blank to show up to stretch.
My guess is they don't say that.
Games at 7:10.
Everybody knows when, if you're committed, you're there early. If you're not, you're probably, walking in later.
Dan, it makes you wonder if maybe earlier in the season, mm-hmm. people weren't showing up that much early because they were already starting to get, not to say cash out, but this is already looking like a long season, so I'm not going to worry about getting there and putting in the extra effort. Whereas now, a win streak with that energy, with that convivial vibe that's going on right now, with the return of Bregman, this could be a momentum shifting, this could be the, not to use one of the biggest cliches, but this could be the tipping point on the season. This could be when
the momentum point.
The inflection point.
The only thing I would be cautioned at thinking is, here's the All-Star breaks coming up. Break in the action when a team is hot, it doesn't make me feel good. I just wish.
Yeah. And then travel, and then taking a few days, taking a week off, and then starting.
And then picking it all back up.
Against the National League, a team you're not familiar with.
Chicago, very good team.
Yep.
Where they start next week. It's an interesting point you bring up, Fitzy.
Oh, they have to go against the professor, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. The Barry Zito of Japan. I love that guy.
The last thing I'll bring up is, it's an interesting point, and I won't say his name so we don't have to restart the tote board, but when your highest paid player is a guy who is not necessarily lauded for his work ethic, maybe that sets the certain mindset, hey, if he's not coming until X, Y, to Z to go screw around at shortstop, maybe we don't have to. Versus when the voices you're hearing the most are Bregman and Story and Duran, and these guys who, talent streaks, whatever, are known for their work ethic, are coming in and setting that kind of tone. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe there is something to that, and it gives more credence to what we were being told when that trade was made of the player whose name I did not say.
Well done, Dan. We do not have to reset the tote board just yet as well. 617-779-7937. There were your 3-point stances on the day. Ted believing now that the Red Sox are more bought in than at any point on the season. Our relationship and gossip expert, Stiz Grimey, bringing us the update that Cardi B and Steph Diggs are, in fact, still together. Is that good or bad for his focus on the upcoming Patriots season? And, of course, mine, which CNN has recently just aggregated to the front page of America's leading news site. Sprinkles should be free at ice cream parlors.
It's going to bring peace worldwide is what
I'm telling
doing.
You. If we could just have a sprinkle summit, then everything would be kumbaya. When we come back, you guys want to rally around this, make this some appointment listening. The debut of the first ever Stiz Grimey Hip Hop Original on WEEI Afternoons, as he's got a little something to say about the Battle of the Wills. But first, we catch you up on everything trending in the wide world of sports. Here's Dan Ball.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox have won 7 games in a row. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3 at Fenway last night. Chris Murphy with the win in relief for Aroldis Chapman with his 16th save. Game 2 of that series is tonight. First pitch is at 7:10. Hunter Dobbins returns to the big leagues to start tonight. He'll face Drew Rasmussen on the mound. Some moves from earlier today. Red Sox fans have been waiting for this one. The team reinstated Alex Bregman from the 10-day injured list. They also reinstated Dobbins from the 15-day injured list. The corresponding moves, the Red Sox have optioned infielder David Hamilton and right-handed pitcher Isaiah Campbell to AAA Worcester following last night's game, meaning Marcelo Meyer has survived and will continue to be on the Major League roster. He's in the lineup for tonight. Here is your lineup for this evening. Jaron Duran leads off in left, and it's Alex Bregman at third. Masataki Yoshida, your DH, with Carlos Narvaez your catcher. Willy Abreu in right, Trevor Story at short, Marcelo Meyer at second this evening with Abraham Toro at first, and Zaidan Rafaela in center field batting ninth. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with myself is tonight at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. The Celtics Summer League slate begins today with a game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Tip-off is at 4 p.m., and the game is being televised on NBA TV. The New England Revolution visit Austin FC on Saturday night. Kickoff is at 8:30, and the field has been set for the 2025 Home Run Derby in Atlanta. The 8K contestants are Ronald Acuna from the Braves, Byron Buxton from the Twins, Junior Caminero from the Rays, Jazz Chisholm from the Yanks, O'Neill Cruz from the Pirates, Cal Raleigh from the Mariners, Brent Rooker from the Athletics, and James Wood from the Washington Nationals. We all know summer is the easiest season for weight loss, warm weather, lighter meals, being outside. Our bodies are primed to succeed, and Awaken 180 has your game plan. Reach your goals this summer with Awaken 180, the official weight loss program of summer. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons Live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.
WEEI, WEEI, New England Sports Original.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
But if he's not going to go out, he's going to call you.
Hey, look, even if I got to go grab you by the back of the neck and drag your ass out there, you will be at first base.
Some of the viral audio from Will the Thrill Clark on the Deuces Wild podcast from the Performance People Network. I can't remember it. I'm not trying to pull a Raphael Devers. I can't remember the name of the network every time, but nobody cares. That's the Deuces Wild podcast with Eric Burns and Will Clark, where he talked about how Raphael Devers, or Raphael Devers, yes, we've had to say the name.
But they're the same people.
The same people, yep. Yeah. Same people.
Both being disrespected by Will Clark.
Raphael
did not show up for a workout at first base to get in some extra defensive reps for a million different reasons, whether it was not to show up the Red Sox or whether it was because he had taken some grounders a few days before and was sore. Side note, how out of shape do you have to be to take grounders at first and 3 days later not be able to take grounders at first? Have mercy. It's not like he was competing in an Ironman, Ted. Like he was doing Oklahomas against you. He was taking grounders at first, for the love of God.
Yep. Baseball players of all the sports, kind of the biggest bees a little bit. And I have a doctor, a friend of mine, who's worked both for in football and baseball, and he basically says the exact same thing.
S-A-W-F-T.
This has been a thing, though. Remember when he didn't run out that ground ball at Yankee Stadium?
Sure do.
Alex Cora turned around like he was going to kill him. Yeah. It was, no, my whatever it was. My groin.
Oh, my
sore,
groin.
Yeah.
You know what?
My arm. It's
player
broken.
Used to just drive me nuts. Remember when J.D. Drew would just all of a sudden, like an hour before the game, my back.
Stiff neck.
Neck, back.
All the time.
Was he talented, but he was built of like reconstituted chandelier glass.
For
that
real?
Guy like right. just was.
You couldn't count on him, man. Couldn't count on him.
Hell of a ball player.
Don't need him.
So we got ourselves, sadly, into the center, the crossfire of this feud this week between Will Fleming and Will Clark, because Will Clark turned on Will Fleming, blaming him for speaking out of turn in church, saying that he revealed information that was given to him in privy at a conversation at Oracle Park in San Francisco alongside his brother Dave Fleming, when in fact it turns out everything that Will Clark said, he said to Will Fleming, he also said on his own damn podcast.
Ted Johnson diagnosed him with amnesia yesterday, which seems to be hitting at a very convenient time.
How convenient it is.
That's the only thing he would explain it.
Has to be.
He has to have amnesia.
He must. Well, he may want to see a specialist about that. But in the interim, he also is going to have some wounds opened up in just a moment, because we have fresh, hot off the press, a diss track, a response produced by our own Stanley Bruno, a.k.a. Boston rap superstar Stiz Grimey. Now, folks, this comes from the POV of Will Clark. Basically, Stiz came across some of Will's notes, if you will, tried to embody him about how Will Clark, if he had the rap talents of Stiz Grimey,
can you enlighten us on where this where you dug this one up from?
Well, yeah, I mean, here at WEEI, we're a family. You come for one of us, you come for all of us. And, you know, Will Fleming on the pregame show last night said, as of course Will Fleming would do, he's a gentleman, he's going to take the high road. Me? No, we're not taking the high road here. You send shots at our guy, we're going to send shots right back. And so, yes, I embodied the mind of Will Fleming and wrote a diss track for him towards Will Clark.
All right. Does this have a title, Stanley?
Hit him up, Will Clark.
Okay. So there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, good listeners of WEEI Afternoons, the debut of Stiz Grimey's Hit Him Up, Will Clark.
And Will Fleming, you can go off, motherfucker, who is one of the Red Sox radio TV guys, I guess.
First off, here's the deal, let me set this straight. If this beef is going up like Raffy Devin's weight, you sounding kind of mad, but it's all a game. Keep dissing while you missing from the Hall of Fame. Cause Stick gave me the gig and he passed the torch. Will Clark and Raffy Devin's just some real sad giants. We keep on winning every inning, it's a run. See us grinning cause we dumped on you a bum. You looking dumb. Will Clark, go ask my brother how I leave you with your 3 downloads and crappy show. Nobody knows. You just mad somebody finally told the truth. Flem Dog, here to give you the proof. I'm in the booth. Let's let these giants know it's on for life. Will Clark might lie tonight. Devin's only cares about money and snacks. Stop eating on them Big Macs. You know, see, grab your glove when you see Will Clark. Watch your mouth or the beef will start. We traded you for a bag of balls. We really never wanted you at all. Listen, the giants suck.
You know, with this AI bullshit that's going on. And so now he goes on some podcast or Zoom. I don't know when it was. So other than that, I'm cool.
Forget Devers. Forget Will Clark. Forget the Giants as a baseball organization and as a crew. And if you're down with Deuces Wild, then forget you too.
Let's go! Stiz Grimey with his sidekick, Brezbot. With the song of the summer, I declare to everyone who believes it's the Pink Pony Club, all due respect, hit him up, Will Clark.
So that many was, great lines in there.
That was tight.
So many great lines.
That was tight.
I don't even know where to start.
Hopefully,
that was excellent.
We'll see if Will Clark has the gall to reply.
Meow.
You know, it's. I mean, we should ask maybe Will Fleming's thoughts on. I think I heard him say last night.
Yeah, we have
really
that audio.
Wants
Teddy.
This story to just kind of go away.
We're keeping his hands clean on this, though.
We're having
EI Afternoons is getting in the mud on behalf of Will Fleming.
I hear you. I love that you got in the gutter there, Stiz. That was awesome.
That's how you do in Chelsea. I mean, Stiz is never going to forget from whence he came. That was great, man. Well done. If you missed it, of course, you can always use the Odyssey app to rewind and listen to any component from the show at your leisure. Subscribe to the WEI Afternoons podcast.
And we'll play it at 5:30 again.
And we'll play that again for you at 5:30. Hit him up, Will Clark. So, Ted, since we issued a challenge, or rather, should I say, rolled out the Fenway red carpet and invited Will Clark on the show over 24 hours ago, we have slid into the DMs, we have contacted him electronically, we have used our frequency modulation to broadcast to the world. Will Clark is welcome on the show anytime to answer for his verbal accosting of our guy, Will Fleming. That's exactly what it was.
What it was.
It was. It was borderline abusive and thoroughly disrespectful.
You talk about a disproportionate response. Like, that's just way over the top for what he is accusing Will Fleming of doing, right?
Yes. Very much so. Yeah, to call him, to MF him after what was a story that he was telling privately, but very much told publicly. I still can't wrap my head around it. I don't know what he was trying to accomplish.
I thought it was, like, shockingly vitriolic.
Yeah.
But I guess...
he had an axe to grind against him.
Yeah, I guess that's actually kind of part and parcel for him.
Or
as well.
It was like a personal attack for Will Clark. That's the only way you respond like that. When you're dropping MFers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's from the... That's the soul. That's the guttural, man.
Like, I remember when... Everybody was getting Brady's back during Deflategate because everybody was mad because it was such a hoax.
I wish I was living up here at that time.
Oh, Ted, it was the best.
It was down in Houston, and I couldn't get enough of that story.
Let me see if you roll with this. To me, people yelling "Free Brady" to each other in the street was like the roll tide of
Pat's Nation. That's insane.
Everyone used to just yell "Free." Like, I would see people walking the streets of New York, and I'd have a Pat's hat on. Or Pat's jersey, and somebody would not just say "Go Pats," they would yell "Free Brady," and you'd yell
how
it
fun
back
was
like
that?
Time.
I mean,
it
thank you, awesome. NFL, for just being as petty as you were.
It gave us something to rally around, like, and you basically, you know, you galvanized Patriots Nation and all of us.
The capper was the 28-3 game, right? That was the capper of that kind of whole thing. It was the end of that season. Yep. Is when the
Goodell had to hand the trophy over to him.
That's right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. How those softballs work out for you. But anyway, I remember during all that time how people would stick up for. Remember Kevin Falk after Brady was suspended, walked out on the stage at the 2016 draft, pulled his blazer open, and instead of a Superman jersey, he had a 12 jersey on, which was amazing. I know the commissioner was not happy about that. Then there was Gronk who came out and told the NFL to enjoy a healthy serving of D's nuts. Because he was sticking up for his guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's about as like sassy as I remember anybody getting in terms of like a reply or a diss track. At no point have I ever heard anybody in sports MF somebody. Like, did you ever have somebody like come out and just like swear and go on such like a profane, grotesque tirade?
One fan, one very famous fan to where I felt like he was over the lines that and I was embarrassed that I actually kind of – I took the bait a little bit. I happened to be injured to start the season. It was 1998. We were playing –
the bicep?
Yep. And we were playing the Jets, okay?
Ah.
So what famous iconic figure goes to every Jets game?
Oh, the same guy that has quit his post?
Correct, because he felt dissed by the team.
Yep.
And then he keeps coming back. He's back now. But Fireman Ed. Fireman
Ed. He left the stadium on butt fumble night and said he resigned.
He came back a couple years later.
Come
back, yeah. So I was in just on my street clothes, and I'm John with Fireman Ed the whole time. And I thought he crossed the line. So I had to go back at him. That was it. That's the only one time, though.
That's pretty amazing, dude. That's pretty excellent. By the way, we are, of course, here at our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. Couple little members of Red Sox Nation knocking on the window saying hi. Hello, guys. We welcome one and all to swing by. Say hello to Danny Ballgame, your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens, and of course, Patriots legend Big Ted Johnson. Did you guys know he won 3 Super Bowls? That's right, he did. And he's in
a Section 10 shirt under that jersey.
How about
too?
That? There we go. This guy listens to he listens to some good pods. You know another Red Sox podcast you should check out? Play Tessie. It's available on the Odyssey app, which you can download for free today. 617-779-7937. Great job by Stiz Grimy there.
Woo.
With the hit-em-up Will Clark diss track. We got our guys back, and we always will, because that's how we roll in the WEEI family. When we return, speaking of talking about the family, oh boy, things don't seem to be going so well again for Hector Luna. Oh no, I'm sorry. That's the name of the coach of University of North Carolina on the EA Sports College Football 2026 game.
So dumb.
Bill Belichick making all the wrong news, and it seems all the wrong moves. A little Belichick talk when we're back on EEI Afternoons. Don't go anywhere.
I will say, if I have to ever get into something, Ted's probably the guy I'll pick first to come to my defense.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring Podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I think that UNC roster is not very good going into this season. So I'm intrigued to see if Belichick can scheme up some stuff here, bridge the talent gap with some of these teams that are more talented. I think it might be one of the least successful teams Bill Belichick has had in a long time, maybe since Cleveland, frankly. Obviously he had a bad end in New England there, but I think this UNC team might be even worse than that.
ESPN's Kevin Clark weighing in on the immediate future in 2025 season of the University of North Carolina Tar Heels head coach of football operations, Bill Belichick. It's time for a Belichick-in, as our guy Dan Ball puts it on the rundown. I thought it was going to be time for TWIB, This Week in Belichick, whatever you want to call
what
it.
Means, but whatever.
Yeah, they all suffice. Yeah, they're all fine.
Our phone lines.
It's funny. It's been a kind of a quiet time. There's been a couple stories, but ever since the CBS Morning fiascos happened, I think basically you haven't seen Jordan that much. You've heard a little bit of stuff in the Hamptons. I think the story had kind of run its course. People were just tired of it.
Yeah.
But football season coming around, now there's some new stuff that is like, to me, it's going to be partly amazing that this plane even gets off the ground.
like just
that he survived this long.
I mean,
it's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right on the heels of that CBS interview, and to think that he's going to actually be under the headset of coaching a game is kind
of
wild.
When you hear some of the stuff we're about to tell you, too, that donors, they got their hands on some emails from donors that.
That's absolutely not true.
Paint a picture.
I remember after the CBS this morning fracas, like what a disaster that was. That I do remember saying that I thought she was gonna like not get the Dorito Dink or Matt Walsh treatment, but that she would probably go into incognito mode for a little while. Mm-hmm. There would definitely be a less is more approach to Jordan's public appearances. And I remember even when we were trying to set the table before Andy Hart went on vacation. I'm not sure if you guys heard. He went to St. Lucia for Yeah. He has a boat too.
Oh, okay.
Before he took a vacation, we made some predictions about what would happen over the next 10 days in sports. And I believe you guys all thought there would be some sort of like Jordan bombshell or something in the interim.
Had to be something.
We hadn't heard hide nor hair from her. And you know what? Honestly, even though it's a good juicy talking point, for me, less is more for sure. Because I reached peak Jordan and Belichick a while ago. And I just want them to get back to football. But now, Ted.
What?
As we find out.
Dude, please. Come on. What's wrong with you, man?
I really miss that, man.
How much time do you have? I can't get enough of this story. And you're like, oh, I don't want enough. Are you out of your mind?
Of course I am.
This is unbelievable stuff. This is radio gold. What's going on?
It is. I just want to get back to talking about real football.
I don't want to talk about UNC football. Yeah. Who's the second string linebacker, no disrespect, on UNC football? So let's speculate a question just real quick. So is this Belichick and Jordan fatigue, or is there a gag order? Is this UNC trying to keep him quiet?
Maybe
I don't know. New PR guy potentially. It's got to be somebody jumping in and saying, "Guys, shut your yaps."
Well, I think even Bill is kind of lacking of self awareness that it's
you don't say
from all of us. even he probably was like, "It might be best if he took a backseat a little bit." But let me just read some of the stuff. Somehow, I don't know, some UNC emails had to be released.
Oh, these were aggregated by Barstool. That's right.
Okay. Love it. Yep. And so it's just there's some interesting emails in here from some of the big money donors at UNC, which to me, they're the ones that have real power.
Mm-hmm.
I think donors are probably the people that they kowtow to and that they worry about, embarrassing them or trying to make them happy more than any other person associated with the school. So these are some emails that were written to the school from these big donors, and it's numerous emails from the University of North Carolina donors, alumni, and faculty, which were obtained through a public records request showing a stunning lack of support for the new football coach. In one email obtained by the Daily Mail, a donor wrote, "What a total embarrassment to you at UNC. I'm withdrawing all my donations and future donations." In another email, a University of North Carolina faculty member, this disgruntled employee complained about there not being, quote, enough money to hire the number of professors we need, but paying a 73-year-old guy with no college football experience, $10 million is okay, and then letting him hire his son. So it's he's getting hit on two fronts. Belichick is the girlfriend and the nepotism.
Yep.
And Bill's son being there and supposedly contractually is supposed to be the heir to the throne, if you will, when Bill steps aside.
Well, at least if you get a copy of the EA Sports College Football 2026 game, Steve Belichick is listed as the defensive coordinator.
But this dad's not.
Hector Luna is the head coach for the university.
Explain to people what that means.
So obtuseness. This is Belichick not agreeing for his rights and likeness to be used.
And he didn't in the NFL when he was on Madden. They did that same thing.
Only the one other coach didn't agree to it. Who is it?
Yeah, Deion Sanders.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no surprise.
Not surprised. How about this? From those emails again, Ted, as you may have mentioned, much of the criticism from donors, alumni, was levied towards UNC's director of athletics, Bubba Cunningham. In one letter, someone wrote, quote, "Jordan Hudson has no business getting involved with Belichick work-related business at Chapel Hill unless she's on your payroll. It's bad enough the nepotism you've allowed by hiring the son," right? You intimated that one. That's the full breadth of that one. But then this one below, "Bill Belichick is a disgrace to our university. Please do something." Mm-hmm. You now have people, literally the ones that are paying $10,000, $50,000, $500,000, millions of dollars to keep the UNC football engine rolling. And these people are now yelling from the rooftops before the season kicks off that they're ashamed of it. It's stunning.
When this started happening, I always say this. I always put more of an emphasis and weight towards a college football coach having to be kind of a moral standard. Somebody sets an example, has a,
right.
a higher moral code or compass, if you will, than the guys that are in the pros because of the impact it has on the kids that he's coaching and just overall brand of the university. It's very, very important you conduct yourself in a certain way at the college ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Bill doesn't get that at all. It to me, it's so different from the NFL. How you behave off the field doesn't matter in the NFL. It does when you're the head coach of a big, powerful program.
This is wild. I can't wait until we get a chance as a show to break down the entirety of the UNC schedule and make our record prediction, because the longer we go, the more Jordan there is, the more dysfunction that, you know, wafts out of the halls of the University of North Carolina football program, despite all the damage control that Mike Lombardi has tried to do with social media videos and all of that very, like, glossy and preened presentation.
Yeah, bit of a deck chairs Titanic situation with that.
Boy, that's inspiring. When Mike Lombardi's selling your program, boy, that just gets me going. Just
I
got to
say, seeing him in a powder blue tracksuit talking about the University of North Carolina
dope.
Was just, you know, honestly, it's like seeing your first grade teacher outside smoking a cigarette.
A guy, that
what,
guy
this, thinks, what is this?
He thinks he is the only one that knows football. Everyone else doesn't know what they're talking about.
So you're
about.
Saying you don't want him as a guest this fall?
Please.
Well, that was the narrative they went with right off the bat as soon as he got hired. Remember him going on McAfee and saying, yeah, we're laughing at what's going on in the NFL right now. We're getting back to our roots in college. Give me
a break. The 33rd team. They right. literally think – that's how they're promoting the program.
Yeah.
And then you heard the bump in with the guy was just eviscerating the roster.
That's Kevin Clark, who has no dog in the fight either. So there's your little This Week in Belichick, a Belichick in, things not going well, a piece from Barstool Sports detailing how multiple donors have said that they find this to be a disgrace and may even cease to fund the program. Oh, what an interesting season we have on hand coming up at Chapel Bill. You know the number. We see your calls lining up at 617-779-7937. When you come back, you know what time it is. It's football o'clock. The 4 o'clock hour means football talk with Ball Game, Big Ted and Fitzy here on WEEI Afternoons.
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.